The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Mark. Glory be to thee, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "In those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Happy New Year! Okay, I know it is not exactly New Year's Day, but it is a new year for the church. We begin our new liturgical year, Year B, today. And the beginning of each and every new liturgical year begins with the season of Advent. So I guess I could say, Happy Advent! And Advent is my favorite season of the church year, and there's several reasons for this. First of all, one of my favorite things to do is to get a new calendar. It's a clean slate, and I get to start filling it in with all the activities and events of the year. There's also a new gospel for our lectionary of scripture lessons. And this year, it is the Gospel of Mark. And I'm grateful because a year in the Gospel of Matthew was plenty. And there are new devotionals to choose from, and I get to reacquaint myself with some of my favorites. And one of the most impactful events of my life took place in Advent. So later on next week, on Thursday morning, I'm going to be going to Del Webb, Sweetgrass, to do a talk about Advent. So over the course of the week, I've been looking at some of my Advent resources and realizing that for some, Advent is not something they know anything about. So there's some great resources for that. You know, we start off with the word Advent itself means coming. That makes sense, right? And some other great historical things that I'll be able to share with those that may not know anything about it. But for many of us, and perhaps most of us here, Advent is not new. We have engaged in this season for years. And sometimes it's hard to think about how we keep that fresh. We do know the stories of Jesus coming to us in humility as a vulnerable baby. But today's scripture lesson talks about another coming. So as I was looking through my Kindle at some different books, I came across one that I had never even opened or downloaded. And the title intrigued me a bit. It's titled, Opening the Scriptures, Faith Through the Year. So I opened it and perused it a little bit and learned a little bit about the author. Her name is Margaret Hebblethwaite, and she's an author of Theology, Feminism, and Travel in the Roman Catholic Tradition. Interesting. She lives in Great Britain. But there was a paragraph that jumped off of the screen for me, and I want to share that with you, and here it is. Advent is a time of exquisite balance between the sadness of the mess we live in and the bliss of the world we would like to live in. Advent is when we acknowledge that bliss is not the blotting out of pain with port and plum pudding. I take it that's a British thing. But Advent is a process, a pilgrimage, a pregnancy, and amidst the chaos of the world's governing, a cry for the coming of the reign of God. After I got through the very first line, I had some resistance to this phrase, exquisite balance. I don't know about you, but I find the idea of any balance very challenging, let alone exquisite. But as I've read it and read it several times, I realized that perhaps this is a wonderful framework and could be helpful for us. There's so much to do between Thanksgiving Day and Christmas Day. The expectations have been raised, even higher than usual. So finding balance is tricky. But I think her idea of Advent not only is a framework for us to consider, but perhaps it speaks of a transition. And that would make sense. We've just gotten done in the last couple of weeks with the end of the church year. 2 weeks ago, we had our last parable from Matthew. Very challenging stuff. Keep alert, keep awake. Last week, Bishop Doyle was here, preached Christ the King Sunday, in which we honor Christ as our King. And now this morning, we have this scripture on the first Sunday of Advent. So her take on Advent really offers us something more than just the preparation for the birth of Jesus Christ and Christmas Day. Perhaps it's a time for reflection on this transition from us thinking about the world that's been, the world we live in, and the world that we hope is to come, the kingdom of God. And also reflection on where we find ourselves in all this and where God is with us. So, when we reflect, we are going to reflect on our past. You know, we know that Jesus came to us. There's history for that. And as one of my favorite professors like to refer to him as the walking around Jesus. We have that in scripture. We know that happened. And we know about how we're living today and that God is present with us. But I wonder, how much time do we take thinking about what that future second coming is going to look like? And our scripture really lays it out for us. In fact, if we were to read the whole of chapter 13, that first half that's not in our lectionary this morning, it would tell us some things that we probably don't want to hear. The first part of this chapter, Jesus is sitting with the disciples on the Mount of Olives, and he's looking across at the temple in Jerusalem. And the disciples are, you know, saying, "Look, Lord, how beautiful this building is. How gorgeous the stones are." And Jesus said to them, "So you think that's so great, huh? It's all coming down. And not only is it all coming down," in verse 8, he tells them, "For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. And this is but the beginning of the birth pangs." He tells them, they're going to be persecuted. They're going to be pulled in front of councils. They're going to be questioned. And not just the disciples, but all the followers of Jesus. And not just by the governing powers, but within their own families. Brother against brother, parent against child. He tells them that there'll be suffering of the people not seen since God's creation. And if that's not enough, beware. There's going to be some false messiahs, people that claim they are me, but you know better. So don't fall for it. So none of that's a very pretty picture. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be very difficult. But in the scripture that we now jump into, after that suffering, Jesus gives us three what could be very separate lessons in their own. They could all stand alone. The first is what it looks like when he returns. The second is for us to pay attention to that even in the flourishing of what looks like a good season, even then in all this suffering, God is near at the gate waiting to join us. And the third is the lesson about staying alert, stay awake. He's not really talking about sleep there, but talking about where God is present now. Where do we see God? How are we alert to that? Where is God breaking in all the time? But it's that first part of Christ coming again and the sending out of angels to gather us to him, to bring us to him amidst all this chaos that's going to be going on, amidst the passing away of the worlds and heavens. And that will be glorious. But can we imagine it? Can we wonder about what Jesus is describing? Can we pray and can we sing, O come, Emmanuel, knowing what's ahead? It's a little more challenging that way. And I started imagining, what would it look like if Betty Ann Taylor decided to put together a little skit or a little pageant on this particular verse, a little Advent pageant for the first Sunday of Advent? Could she even gather enough people to represent just a little bit of the angels that are going to be sending, that Jesus is going to send out to gather us? Nope. She couldn't. And I know, okay, that's a little far into our imaginations and mine, actually, but I hope you get the idea. This is beyond our imagination. It is beyond our wonder what that's going to look like. So I guess I would offer to you during this Advent season, spend some time in the reflection of our past, of our present, and what that future is going to look like. Because I think that is truly an exquisite balance. We will stand and remember and celebrate the birth of Jesus. And we're also going to be looking for that second coming, to what the future of the kingdom of God is going to look like. Amen.